Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are reimagining customer relationships, how we build them, how we keep them, and how we continue to lead as customer expectations rapidly evolve. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Jeannie Donet.
And we are going to have a fantastic conversation. So let's get right into it. What is your hot take?
All right. So today I wanted to talk about 2 weeks marketing, which is sort of my specialty. And I think there's a lot to do about it. So it's how do we bring user experience UX into marketing, and what does it mean? And yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are interested about that.
I'm super interested. Longtime listeners will know that I actually got my start in conducting eye tracking research. So very much like supporting UX marketing and that thought process of how do people consume visual information and what is the order and the color and the contrast and all of those small details that you don't even think about when you're creating an experience, but can really change the way someone makes a decision about whether or not they're going to buy from your company.
Yes, that's actually really important. And especially in marketing, because marketing is sort of the first impression you get from a company. And when I say marketing, I include branding, of course, because it's this whole part of it. So it is really the first step. It's like when you don't know, you never heard about it, and you see either an advertising or any kind of content, a podcast, it can be a blog, it can be anything. And then you just look at it for the very first time, a sort of hit or miss, you know? So I really get that. The design is very important. Of course, the content itself is very important. And also how you bring that together to give an overall experience. Because you can have the best design, the best content. If the experience is not there, it's not going to work.
Well, and I think that sometimes people confuse the idea of like, oh, I'm a UX designer. And they're thinking like the visual layout and really only the design aspect, right? But you just made the point, you could have the best design. You can have the best content. But if you don't have the experience that drives the behavior, then it doesn't matter how much work, time, effort, or love you put into those things.
Exactly. A lot. And you see that a lot for websites because I do UX marketing, but I also, marketing is everywhere. So websites are, of course, part of the mix and the workflow. And when you have a website, sometimes the website is really good and you have really good content on it. But for some reason, you have like a pop-up, a modal, you know, something that's going to break the experience right away when you arrive on the website. And so people will leave and they won't even give a second chance to you. So. Right.
Well, and my biggest complaint right now when I'm going to websites in particular and like the user experience break is when I click on that little chat bot in the corner and I met with like an AI agent and I try to ask basic questions that your AI should be able to answer. And yet it's like a super disappointing experience, and from big brands too, who should know better. And my frustration is that we are leaving the user experience out of AI because it's the sexy, shiny new thing. And yet we're not really thinking through the UX conversation about what does it actually mean to be a person interacting with our brand new brand ambassador, our AI agent.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And that's all what 2X marketing is about, because you're right. It's like for marketing right now, everybody wants to use AI because it's faster, it's easier, it's cheaper, it's nice, it's a new technology, but they really forget about how people experience it. And you're right. It's like this AI agent, it can work really well, but it can also work really badly. And if there is nobody behind who just checks the experience, you just give the new, and is it to trust? Sometimes people trust too much the tool. We have to think about AI. Like, yeah, it's artificial intelligence. It's still artificial. It makes a lot of mistakes. So you cannot just put too much trust in it. And you have really to think about how people will react seeing this AI agent in the corner. And you just put it there because it's shiny, it's pretty, and it's what people want to see. But if you don't test it in depth and you don't see how it is, so UX marketing is really how things are linked together, because having this agent is great, but how do you put it sort of in your workflow, meaning that I'm interacting with this agent, but this agent should also direct you to do actions that are related to CTAs and call to action and things like this. And people don't think about that. They think about, oh, he's going to just answer their questions. but you also have to guide the answers. You have to guide the questions, and you have to make sure that, yes, you answer the question, but also you bring people to do the things you want to do as a brand. You guide them to your products, because that's the goal of marketing. The goal is conversion. The goal is to make money.
Right, 100%. If we were all just doing this is really expensive hobbies to not actually make some money and do some business. One thing that you said I want to dive into, you said that UX is really how things link together. So what do you think is the biggest blind spot that leaders have when it comes to the user experience, whether that be in the marketing, the website, the sales? Like, what are leaders missing when it comes to really leaning into UX?
I think the issue is they think about the main pass, the biggest pass. And they think, okay, for example, people will contact me, will go onto my website, and then they will navigate a couple of pages, and then they will go to the contact page and contact me. You know, they sort of think about what is the biggest pass, and they never think about what is really happening. And also for the user experience, and I'm also reminding people a lot about that, just things happen into life. We talk about this right before this podcast. My dog can start to bark.
Yep.
I don't have kids, but when you have kids, it can be a mess all of a sudden. It's like life is part of the user experience. So when people think like only the straight way to conversion, they never think about what are the alternate paths, what's really happened. I'm on the website. For some reason, I drop the website because I get a call, and then I get something else, and then I forget about it. And then I go back to my tab and say, oh, yes, I had this tab open. And then I come back. And people are really, the way they interact with marketing, it's really messy, I will say. And that's a blind spot. That's people we don't realize. They don't realize how messy it is. And they think only the straight way, and they forget about all this little interaction. And honestly, that's sort of the most important. Because if you manage to give a great user experience when things are messy, that's when you succeed. Because that means you get to like be part of their life in a way that is smooth and good. And that's when people will remind you. Because that's why we talk, for example, Amazon works, because your life is messy, but you still get the package at the end of the day. So that's why it works. You order, you get it done, and that's the experience you want. And all the little mess inside, it's really deal very well. So that's sort of what brands should aim for, and that's a blind spot. And it's very hard. It's very hard, especially for startups.
It is. Startups, enterprise. I've consulted with some of the largest companies in the world, and they are embarrassingly bad at this sometimes. I do want to touch on and get your feedback on a thought. I had someone on the podcast a couple of months ago who talked about their onboarding process. So they worked on the other side of the sale and onboarding new customers. And their hot take was basically that, like, if your onboarding is designed to work for you but not for your customer, then it's just a waste of time for everybody. And I think a lot of companies fall into this trap of creating what they call the ideal customer journey and all the touch points and activities. But it's meant to move people through a process rather than flow with them through the process. And it just doesn't work. We're too complex of creatures to have this very rigid, like, we're going to go from A into B into B into C. And it almost feels like the more detailed your journey map is, the more wrong it is likely to be.
Yes, exactly. And it is funny you talk about onboarding, because now I actually integrate that to marketing, because I think marketing stops sort of when the people are onboarded, when they really get into the product. The issue, if you let marketing go too soon and you don't follow the people until they're actually on board, you have this big gap in the middle. Where you're right, it's like nobody really know what's happening, and we just hope people will create accounts. Right. But it's really, and that's funny, because the developers are also always testing the onboarding in a way that is, you're right, ideal. I'm on my computer. Everything is fine. I have the internet connection that is working. I'm here. I'm sitting. No noise. And I test the onboarding process, and everything is fine. What if I'm on my phone in the metro?
Right.
and I'm losing the network each time I get I reach to a station. You know, what if I'm on a plane? What if I'm trying to do that on my computer at the same time to do so many other things? And that, you're right, it's the issue is we don't think about all these little things. It's hard because as soon as we try to think about it, we just get overwhelmed and just like, we sort of give up. We're just like, it's too hard. It's too much. So we sort of give up.
And like at the end of the day, things like if you're building something, I've built products before, right? And every element makes sense to me and is purposeful and intuitive. And of course, that's the way it's going to work. But I have all of the context of the discussion that went into the decision making. And your users, your customers, your prospects, they don't have all of the context of what you're the story that you're trying to tell. They don't have the background. They haven't, you know, studied your brand ever. And you have to bring them into a conversation and make them feel like they are joining a conversation, not joining halfway through, right? Because there's nothing more jarring than when you walk up to a conversation and you're just like an outsider on two people talking, and then they don't even acknowledge you and bring you into the conversation. But yes, that's kind of what we're doing to our customers and our prospects. We're having a conversation with the market, and yet we're expecting them to jump in as if they've already been from the very beginning a part of this story.
Yeah, it is true. And the more, I mean, when you grow a company, the more you are inside of it, the less you realize it because you know your product so well that you just expect everybody knowing it. You sort of expect sometimes if you are a big enterprise being sort of famous, you know, people knows me.
Right.
But they may not know exactly what you do. They may not know exactly what the product is or this specific product you're trying to sell them. So I think it's important, especially in marketing, to do a lot of education, making sure people understand what it is about, making sure they, so what I do most of the time in real life is we do a lot of touch points. We do a lot of educational posts, educational blogs. We try to bring them into the conversation very soon in the process. So when they actually become customers, they sort of know a little bit because they have been in touch with the brand before, during a brand awareness stage, during, you know, the educational stage. We have various stages people go through, and it's part of the experience. So that's sort of what UX marketing is, you know, how you bring this experience and how you integrate customers in the marketing, in this experience. So when they actually become customers, they are not lost. I just say
there's an important point there that a lot of companies are trying to do. And I see a shift towards this happening. I don't know that anyone has truly been successful yet, but I kind of believe that marketing needs to almost have an umbrella over the entire customer journey, from prospect to procurement to prospective renewal. Because if you don't have a cohesive feeling all the way through, people will notice that, right? And they might not be able to put their finger on it, but they will notice if your brand feels different in the marketing phase, and then it feels different in the sales phase, and then it feels different in the renewal process. And it might even be very, very slight differences, just like change in tone or approach or responsiveness. But those things, people, whether they recognize it or not, really plays into their decision-making on whether or not you are a brand who is trustworthy, because you are or are not consistent, because you're dependable, because people can expect you to deliver on the promises that were made. And, you know, if you're in post sales, like a customer success, and marketing has made promises that you can't deliver on, that's bad for everybody.
That's bad for everybody. It's a really big issue for marketing sometimes, because it's very easy at the marketing stage to make a lot of promises. But then are those promises really inside the product? Are they working properly? Is it just something that is sometimes, I'm working a lot with startups, so sometimes the functionalities are there, but they are not like at the stage that is really stable. So we can use them, yes, but it's not perfect. So people may have issues that they encounter during just using them. So yeah, you're right. It's very important to be in every stage, keep the consistency, keep the branding. That's sort of, I think branding is sort of what should be linking everything together. It's very hard, but maintaining a consistent branding, which is branding is including actually is a tone of voice. As you say, you know, branding should include the logo, the colors, of course, the font, but it should also include the voice. How do we talk to customers? What are the keywords we are using? How do we interact? What is everything about the brand, much more than just, oh, this is my logo. And if I keep my logo all the way along, it's going to be fine. You know?
I think people confuse that though, right? Because I've talked to a lot of designers who get in trouble with brand standards because they didn't capitalize the word quite the right way, or they didn't bold where they should have bolded, or they, you know, different logo treatments. And I think that people are starting to get there, but there's definitely a large group of people who just think of brand as my brand guidelines, my logo, the different variations that are available to me, and the fonts that we use in our proposals.
Yeah.
And really, brand is a much more difficult to grasp thing, right? Because you almost can't put it on paper, and your brand can't be what you want it to be, because it almost has to be what you already are, the way you make people feel, the way they see you, the way you show up in the room. And you can want to be the next Apple or the next Amazon or whoever, but if you aren't truly at your core the same ideals and attributes as them, you will never achieve that brand feeling.
Yes. And your brand is also everything you do. And when you are a company, everything each employees do related to the company. So you cannot really control everything about your brand. And sometimes the more you try to control it, the more actually it goes sideways, because that's when people, like, some people will really respect it. Some people will really go like everywhere. And that's when you lose control. So I think branding is really hard because there is some part that needs to be flexible. And some others that needs to be strict, because you're right. For example, not capitalizing words. It is something, and I think from a designer standpoint, I am a designer. It's very hard because you have to be so detail-oriented.
Yep. Not most too people much. Most people think that they're detail-oriented. They are not that detail-oriented.
No, because detail-oriented is not about like being picky. It's about making sure what you do is respecting the whole framework. It's more what I'm thinking when I say detail-oriented, because detail-oriented, that doesn't mean you have to be like, oh no, I'm going to do this my way. That's not being detail-oriented. That's being support.
Right.
Exactly. So being detail-oriented is really respecting the full framework. And when you are a designer and you are detail-oriented, you should be asking yourself, all right, I want to do this for this brand. So, which is another brand that the brand I work, because as a designer, usually works for several brands. You can be freelance, you can work for a company, an agency, you know, so you can have different type of clients. And each time when you open a project, you should put yourself in the mindset of this specific project, which means also you cannot just copy paste. You have to be in this mindset and say, okay, these specific clients want to do things this way. And maybe this is not the way you want to do it, but this is the way they are doing it. And I think it's very important. And you have to place yourself in this mindset to not work for yourself. If you do that, it's a hobby. You work for someone else, for another company, for another brand. And that's where branding is really hard.
Yeah, you almost have to learn to like separate your, like have an out-of-body experience every time you work with a new client, right? Disassociate from who you are and what you like and what makes sense for the brand.
Exactly. Because of course, you're going to have your core personality, but you have to dissociate part of it. And that's exactly what I do with marketing. As a marketing agency, I have various clients. And of course, I have core processes. I have things that I repeat because you cannot reinvent everything. But each time I'm working on social media for a client, I put my mind in this specific client. And I'm not going to share the same way for each of them, especially because there are various industries. So I couldn't, you know, it's impossible. So it's really important to put yourself in this mindset, which is a hard way to do it. That's how you can differentiate like a junior designer to a higher level designer. Because I think when you're a junior, you don't have this capacity. I remind myself like 10 years ago, couldn't do that. But as a senior, the more you grow in your career, I think that's where your really is this capacity of dissociate yourself and be taking anybody, just any brand, and be able to work as their way is really where your skills are.
So what are you working on right now? What's the project that you are most excited about?
Yeah, so I work on a lot of things. I work on a personal project and I work on a project for a client. So I can probably talk about both. So for clients right now, I work for MustWants, which is a company. It's a startup, which is, it's a grown startup. It's been 4 years, 4 or 5 years. And we're working for people who are PCSing, military families, who are moving homes. And right now we are in a very exciting phase because the product is getting stable. So we are ready to actually bring in a lot of more customers, a lot of more people signing in. And we are in this phase where it's very a hard project because we have design, we have development, we have UX, and we have professionals, we have like customers, we have like B2B, B2C. So it's like a really big project and I'm sort of in the middle of everything. So for me, it's very, very exciting to see how everything is putting out, how all the pieces are putting together. So, and our goal is to be really fully ready for the fall. So it's been a year and a half I'm working with them. So really exciting project. So most ones. And then another project I'm working on, which is more personal for my company, it's I'm building an AI tool to actually help sharing online on social media. So I use AI, but in a very advanced way. And I try to bring the human touch in it. So it's really, how do I share on social media? How do I use AI to help me, but also keep the full, strategy process to a human? So I bring my ideas and then AI is just helping me along the way.
Cool.
So it's sort of the two projects I'm working on.
I love it. Thinking of all of the incredible people that you know or that you aspire to know, who is leading the charge? Who's changing the way we build relationships with our customers?
Yeah, so it's I saw the question and I was like, I was thinking about it for at least an hour earlier. And I was just like, I don't know. It's like, there are so many people who are doing that. I think what I really, the people I really admire is all these people who are, that's why I love working with startups. It's all the visionaries. The people who have a lot of ideas on how to make the world a better place. There are, most of them are not, I mean, of course, you need money to build a business. But I think what I really admire is the people who are working past that. They are not working for the money. They are working because they have a vision and they want that vision to come to life. And that's sort of my role model, because that's sort of what I'm doing in my work. Of course, I need to be paid because, you know, I have things to pay. But if I didn't have bills, I wouldn't want money. It's just I'm working because I'm passionate about it. And I think that's patient is really what I admire in people.
So, and if someone is really connecting with you, they want to learn more about your projects or talk about branding, marketing, and UX marketing, where can they find you online?
So I think the best way to find me is on LinkedIn. And you may have the ability to put a link for that. I use my mundane name, so it's going to be Virginie Delette on LinkedIn. You can connect with me, just shoot me a little message. And that's really where I share everything about UX marketing. I have a newsletter and I'm really passionate into my work. So you can connect with me there. I think it's the best social media to go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal. This was a really fascinating conversation.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you.